The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we're talking about Ted Lasso, Mandalorian, some movie Brandon went and saw. Pretty sure we're going to cover all those things. You've heard us talk about them before. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Yeah, I messed up the fade out there. I'm sorry. We're out of practice.
We take 1 week off.
I know.
And it all goes haywire. Hello, everybody. I'm Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. And welcome to another fantastic episode of this, the Apathetic Enthusiasm Show.
This American Life.
Brought to you by apatheticenthusiasm.com. Find makers of such podcasts as Apathetic Enthusiasm. Submit it for your approval. Twilight Zone Podcast, which I have an episode in the hopper that I need to release. Thanks for reminding me. And Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast. But that's not this show. This show is Apathetic Enthusiasm. And there's a few ways you can get a hold of us. You can go over to Apathusiast over on Twitter. You can go to apatheticenthusiasm.com if you want to check out some of the content we've had before, some of our podcasts, also any of the like the Halloween horror things that me and Kevin have done. If you want to do that, that's cool. You can send us an email, apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. We are on Instagram as well, apathetic_enthusiasm, perhaps. And
killing it.
And of course, Travis is over there, is at Juggle Mino, spelled just like it sounds, juggle as in juggling things, and Mino as in Mino. Jar Jar. I don't know.
Juggle.
So that's over on Twitter. And then I'm at Barnyard Cruise, C-R-U-Z, not U-I-S-E.
Imagine going on a Barnyard Cruise, though.
I wonder, poor animals. I guess that's what Noah did, right?
It's basically a Barnyard Cruise.
Good job, Noah. And like after the flood, he's like, you know what? I can make a killing off of this.
we could get some excursion packages as soon as we find land.
As soon as we find
amazing.
Find land and any other people that survived. Because he makes a killing off it. Okay. Anyway, so that's it. Let's go ahead and get into it. Travis, how are you doing?
I'm good. I have a very exciting week ahead of me. I'm excited to run less for this week and then run more than I ever have in my entire life this weekend. So yeah, exciting stuff. I'm sure we'll talk all about it in a future podcast. But other than that, just I've been very busy with work and family things, lots of things going on. It's spring. Spring has sprung.
Yes.
So, you know, the weather is getting nicer. Kids are playing outside more, wanting to do more fun activities. And I'm watching Star Wars on TV. That's how I'm spending the majority of it. What about you? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. you know, life is going all right. I got a new job. I don't know if I told you that.
I knew about it. I don't know if you're talking to me.
I started a new job. I'm going on week three of my new job. The first week was fun. It's exciting. It's all onboarding training and just like getting fire hosed with information and being like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to do any of this. I feel sorry for all the people who I manage well ahead of time. Then week two happened. And then I said to myself, I really feel bad for him now. I felt bad for him before, but now I'm in week two. Week three starts. It's Monday now. And I'm like, you know, one person's on vacation already. I think I'm doing an okay job.
So yeah, they don't even know how good they have it.
Yeah. But it's
very exciting.
It's cool. It's cool. Yeah. A couple of people asked me about my podcasts already. I hope they don't. I didn't tell them about Twitch. So we'll see. They might find out.
We'll see how savvy they are with the internet.
Twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Hello to you, team.
I guess this had to have been. I think this was just before the week we took off, where we got an email on our Rick and Morty podcast email address from one of the guys that I supervise. And it just said, hey, I just want everybody to know I'm a big fan of Travis. And that was it. That was the whole email. I think he's still very proud of that email.
Yes.
But I think that's about how as far as he listened into the show was the housekeeping. He got as far as what our email address was, and then he turned it off and sent us an email.
And he didn't respond to my email back to him.
Well, I mean,
I feel a little rejected. I'll say, you know,
maybe that was his intent, because he specifically called me out and not you in the email.
No, I know, but in my email, I said, you're absolutely right. Travis is a fantastic friend, a fantastic individual, a fantastic personality. And you are lucky to be in his presence ever. I said to, him. And
I said,
and no response, taken aback.
It's all right. I'll pursue disciplinary action. So that's sort of what's been going on in the off weeks. Anything else worth talking about? Do we want to talk about the big news, or do we want to wait until it's closer to the big news?
Oh yeah, let's wait and talk about the big news and talk about some other big news that's coming up.
We'll just tease the big news. There's big news coming, everybody. There's some this summer. Big news.
Big news. Big news.
Keep it locked on this on this channel. For the big news this summer.
Yeah. Big news this summer specifically. But before we get to summer, I got to say there's some other big news that's happening this coming weekend. This coming weekend. Is it this coming weekend?
Talking about my run about?
When you going to? Yeah. I mean, let's talk about your marathon, man. Marathon Man. Which
I'm
is
running
a
marathon this week.
Great movie. It's a great movie. Is it safe? There's a dentist. It's got Dustin Hoffman in it. If you've never seen it, it's a wonderful, wonderful movie.
Yeah, let's talk about Marathon Man instead of me. I'm running a marathon. It's my first marathon. If you've been here for a while, you know we've been talking about it. I feel good. I had my last long run before the marathon yesterday, and just felt like really good for the 10-miler, and then today is tapering down and just like shorter runs, more relaxed runs, getting ready for the big race on Sunday. And I'm excited. Should be a lot of fun. I've run in this event a couple of times before, just at lower distances. I've run half marathons a couple times. It's been close to a decade since I did that, but I'm excited. I'm excited to. All right. Maybe we'll talk about this after the marathon next week.
All right.
But I'm on the fence because because the marathon is 26.2 miles. That's a big deal, right? That's a lot of miles.
Big deal
to run all at one time.
That's a big deal.
What probably doesn't get talked about as much is the
hernias.
The I think 300 something miles. I could get the actual amount here. But I'm averaging about 100 miles a week. I've run 366.8 miles in over the course of training for this marathon.
Wow.
So that to me is like the crazy part. More like the 26 miles is crazy, but yeah, running literally a full day plus 3.5 hours of running. 1 day, 3 hours and 23 minutes of running.
Incredible.
I've done during this training plan.
Incredible.
That's the side of it where it's like, man, doing another marathon seems like a cool idea, but then it also seems like a lot of extra time.
Yeah, yeah. Did you have to replace your shoes at all? Yeah, you know, they say like 300 miles
did.
Or so.
I had some running shoes that already had some miles on them before I started the training plan. About halfway through, I picked up a new pair of shoes and started running with those. I've already put over 150 miles on those shoes.
Oh, my God.
So they're about halfway to retirement. They'll probably be about 2/3 of the way to retirement by the time this is all said and done.
Dang.
Yeah.
Maybe it's almost time for me to get some new shoes. You know, I've had them.
You need new shoes?
I've had them.
Do you track your shoes in the Nike Run Club app?
I thought I did. Like, I thought they just were defaulted. I did them like twice maybe. And then I just like it's there. It should be like in the profile. And like, those are the shoes I used to run. I don't know. I don't want to look at it right now, but I'm sure it's fine. I'll replace them.
Sure. Yeah. those default shoes probably say they have like 800 miles on them or something.
No. I mean, I got new shoes and then I went in and I switched them because I had like Oasis and then I maybe changed to Brooks. And so then I updated it to the Brooks shoes.
Okay. And then you're tagging those shoes in every run that you do, like as the default.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You should see how much miles we're on.
Okay.
At some point.
I will.
I was randomly at a store the other day.
I think
2 weeks ago. And my app notified me that said, congratulations, you're halfway to your goal. And I was like, what goal? I'm way closer to my marathon than halfway. And I opened the app and it was letting me know that I was halfway to the goal distance for those shoes. So, and it had only been like a month and a half that I'd had them. So it was a little depressing.
Yeah, but that's
anyway,
depressing.
Well, yep, going to run a marathon this weekend. If we don't have a podcast next week, that's because I'm dead.
That's because you're dead. I will also say I bought a new I forgot to tell Chelsea before this aired, so she might hear me in the background.
Okay, she doesn't listen to this podcast.
but I speak loudly enough that the sound carries through the walls. So bought a new one. I've been in the market. Our friend old Ryan McGee, he said
he's talking you up on that work chat, and he's got you buying new Git fiddles already.
Because we work for the same company, and the first check I got, like as a gift to myself, I bought a new guitar, and then we talked about guitar pedals, all these types of things. So I've been like, yeah, you know what, yeah, that's what I want to do. And so I picked one up from Sweetwater.com. They're great. Those people are great. Not a sponsor, but I wish they could be because they're just like so damn helpful. Like I've got a Gibson. I've got a Brett, my younger brother. He gave me one of his guitar, which I think it's an Ibanez, which is very, it's really hard to tune. I have a bunch of acoustics and stuff like that. What I don't have is a Strat. I do have a Strat, but a Fender Strat, but it's I got it from my uncle who passed away,
he smashed it at some point in time, refixed it up. It's a family thing. It's not there to play. Anyway. An heirloom, if you will. So I don't have a Fender Strat, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going for it. It looks badass. It's like dark night blue.
Hey, send me a picture. It looks great.
And the Sweetwater tech called me up today. He's like, look, the picture, it doesn't do it justice. The picture looks really good, but you'll see when you see it, it's so much better than it looks in the picture. So I'm excited about that.
Cool. You'll have to play us some music on a future episode.
All right. You got it. But we, you know, all that guitar shit aside, we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about stuff that's interesting to people. That's right. Evil Dead Rise just came out, which that is interesting. We'll talk about that later. But no, we want to talk about Mandalorian, Travis.
Do you want to lead with Mando, or do you want to lead with, I don't know. I mean, we could lead with Mando.
Yeah,
that's probably the most spoilerific stuff.
Yeah, let's lead with some Mando.
Okay. So here's what I'll say, because Mandalorian has been discussed intermittently throughout season 3 on this podcast, but it has been a very one-sided conversation because, Brandon, you have all but refused to watch the new season of Mandalorian. And going back into the archives of the Mandalorian, your opinions about the series have been lukewarm at best. You felt like it was a lot of what, like quest of the week, self-contained little, you know, MacGuffins or something. I don't know. I'm putting words in your mouth.
Yeah, no, that's good. sounds
about right. So you were more hesitant, I guess, to watch the season. Is that right?
Yeah. I was hesitant to, I guess it was, I don't know. I'll go back and forth on it because I don't feel like I was hesitant to watch it necessarily. I just wasn't motivated to watch it. I like the premiere episode. All right. And then you were talking about it. People were talking about it a lot. I'm like, I don't know. I just don't, maybe I didn't have the time or will to do it. But then I said to myself, Brandon, you have some free time. You know, the stressors of life are getting to you. Why don't you just sit back, relax, and enjoy some fantasy adventure of Mandalorian season 3? And so I was like, oh, that's a great idea. Then also we can talk about it. Like going in, I binged them all the way up until Wednesday for the finale so I can catch up, and then we can talk about it this week.
Yeah.
That's been my critique for The Mandalorian before, which is it's like quest of the week, the serialization, like the interesting like through lines of the stories don't happen until like the end of the season, and that's what I'm interested in again. And you had been saying that the through line, the thread had been there the entire season. And I'm like, okay. So I watched the second episode, I watched the third episode, so on and so forth. And I was like, yeah, no, you're right. Like it's good. I liked it a lot. I think that'll lead into different conversations about other people who didn't like it, who thought it was aimless, which is the weirdest criticism to me about this season. But pass it back over to you.
Who thought it was aimless?
I've heard that.
Is that just critiques online or?
Yeah, I think maybe like, maybe AV Club mentioned something about it being aimless and like it was like kind of here and there and everywhere. And I think maybe that criticism comes from where you have like one-off episodes with like Dr. Pershing, like his Coruscant episode. That maybe like, why do we have an entire episode dedicated to a side character that you're never going to see again? but I don't know, like thematically, the whole season stayed tied together. It was all about Mandalorians. And I thought that was a really good.
About time, am I right?
Right. It wasn't like Book of Boba Fett, where the majority of it is not even about him, right? about Mandalorian. At least
the good parts of it, yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I did think... I watched, what is it, 8 episodes? I watched it pretty much week to week. I did find that there were a couple episodes that didn't hold my attention as well. And it was usually the episodes that seemed to divert from that main storyline or that main through line. I thought there are elements about the Coruscant episode and Dr. Pershing that definitely could set up or connect to other threads later in the Star Wars saga. And as a person who is spending a lot more time watching animated Star Wars stuff, things like Coruscant, I'm much more familiar with, or not like familiar, but comfortable with episodes that are just like, let's go deal with the Senate and what's happening on Coruscant for a whole episode. And it also, oh, by the way, has nothing to do with the rest of the plot. Hi, my name is Dave Filoni. but some of that stuff's like actually pretty good. So yeah, I liked the season. I really liked them bringing in, what's her name? I always just call her Starbuck.
Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan. And really exploring that character some more and building that relationship between her and Mando to really like push the past of the Mandalorians a little bit more and share what happened to their planet and why they're sort of fractured and spread across the galaxy. And that idea that even though they have different styles of being Mandalorians and you have this cultist tribe that won't take their helmets off and have very strict rules and this is the way. And there's others that are also like deeply rooted in Mandalorian culture, but don't adhere to those same rules. The fact that they could come together as a people and retake their planet. I think that was like a great through line,
yeah,
and a great overarching plot for this season. So for some of the criticisms to say it was aimless, I wholeheartedly disagree and think that, if anything, it had the most sort of connected cohesive plot of any of the seasons so far.
Yeah, I completely agree. I really like the aspect of Bo-Katan's former Mandalorians all taking their helmets off, but they were also the ones who'd actually been to Mandalore that were actually there. And I thought that was like a good way of tying together the ones who never take their helmets off with the ones that do, because it's like, yeah, like this is your culture, this is our culture. We were there. We saw what happened when it was bombed and all that type of stuff. To like have that weird mix of past and present, and to bring them both together. So I like that. I also liked that not the finale, but the one before that was titled The Spies. And leading out of episode 7, a lot of people were like, who is the spy? Who's the one who ratted out the Mandalorians? Is it Wove Axe or whatever is Axe Wove or something like that?
Yeah.
His weird name. Or is it the Armorer? Is the Armorer the one who's a spy? And then it turns out that like none of them are spies. And I liked that. I liked that.
Yeah.
There wasn't a Mandalorian that was a spy for Moff Gideon. It wasn't like that at all. Like they were all unified in taking back the planet. And so it was like a weird reverse red herring where you're like, who's it going to be? Oh, it's none of them. Good. Because they're all dedicated to the cause. Yep. So I really enjoyed that.
Talking about the episode, The Spies, I kind of, part of me wishes that had been part one of a 2-part finale or that they had released episodes 7 and 8 sort of in the same week or something, because I almost like episode 7 more than 8 in some ways. Just the exploration of Mandalore, the reveal of Moff Gideon and his armored up like super troopers that are in Beskar armor and have jetpacks and all these things. The death of Paz Vizsla was for me very emotional. I thought that they did a good job of developing that character and really investing in him over the course of the season, and then to show his sacrifice for the rest of the group was very interesting and I thought that that episode altogether was really great. And then we go into the return, the finale, and it picks up almost immediately where the previous episode leaves off. So I think they could have really felt like one extended episode. I thought that they did a good job of continuing to, I mean, they used Moff Gideon in an interesting and compelling way, but also like did away with him like once and for all. And there's always something running in the back of my mind whenever I watch Star Wars content that exists between known elements of other Star Wars content, right? Because they're like, oh, let's introduce all this cool new stuff and then find a way to get rid of it before we have to explain why it doesn't exist later on in the series or in another movie and stuff.
Yeah.
So I find that stuff really interesting.
That's a good, interesting point, because what happens in obviously there was announced the Filoni movie, which will wrap up all these different storylines of Mandalorian and Ahsoka. Yeah. Like what happens to Mandalore in between season 4 of Mandalorian and Force Awakens? What stories are there? Maybe they go back into like this is our place now. We're not messing with galactic affairs anymore. So I'm interested in exploring that part of the world. And that's been like my thing for a long time, where I'm like, I'm not interested in can we stop talking about the past all the time? Let's stop talking about the past all the time. But this season of The Mandalorian, and I mentioned this to you earlier before I had watched the season, it's like it is basically the prequel. It's the Clone Wars to The Force Awakens. It's like the Rebels to A New Hope as Mandalorian is to The Force Awakens. It feels like a little bit, right? Like filling in the blanks.
Yeah, definitely. And I think for however much more is planned between the Ahsoka series, I think there's another Mandalorian season in the works.
There is, yeah.
Plus whatever film they come out with. Yeah, I think there's definitely space there, right? Because we're talking almost 30 years worth of time between the end of Return of the Jedi and Force Awakens. There is a lot of room there to explore. And I don't think they're going to fill all that space, but I think there's a lot of opportunity to show those pivot points. And that's something I would say Dave Filoni has gotten really good about, is capturing how the gradual change from one state of the galaxy to another sort of comes to pass, right? And you see that a little bit in, I mean, the fact that he's able to cram, what is it, 7 seasons of the Clone Wars between 2 prequel films. And then you have Order 66 and the clones, kill all the Jedi, most of the Jedi. And from there, I started recently watching The Bad Batch, and that show goes directly from the end of what's the third movie?
Revenge of the Sith.
That's the one. Sure.
Revenge of the Sith.
And I don't know. episode three. And but it, like that series literally picks up with Order 66 and then shows how the clones sort of go from being the main army of the Republic to being phased out, and now they're bringing in stormtroopers and they're trying to find ways to replace the clones. And they're literally building the empire in this series. And for me, those aspects of it, as much as I like the main characters a lot, but those other aspects and how the world around them is changing was equally fascinating to me. And so there are those elements within Mandalorian that I really enjoy, and I hope they continue to play with and show how these rebels that have now thwarted an empire have to figure out how to lead and govern and do all of those things.
Yeah.
And how they make deals and how they use a bounty hunter like Din Djarin to, you know, manage the outer planets that they can't get to.
There's a scene in the Dr. Pershing episode where at the very, very start, you know, he'd been working for the Empire. He's working on cloning and he's doing this speech with the New Republic talking about cloning. And like they have this amnesty program for former Imperial officers. And after he's finished, he gets out of there and a bunch of these rich aristocrats.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
That's with the New Republic are like, oh, so glad you're on our side now. Oh, and like there's like fawning over them and being like very. There's part of them that didn't change. Like some of the more rich people were still rich under the Empire. And, you know, like, and you see it kind of like in Andor, too, right? Like the rich are still rich. They're just the regime doesn't necessarily matter as much because guess what? They're still not the impoverished ones.
I don't remember a direct quote, but they basically say like an emperor, you know, this new council or whatever, you get used to it after a while. It changes so often, but like they seem so disconnected from it. Right.
Yeah.
And that's fascinating to see in a set of mythology that is so tied to that control of power, right? So much of the original series is about the rebellion against the Empire. And
very
the
black
prequels
and white.
Being about how what's that?
It's very black and white, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Sith deal in absolutes only. and over the years with them exploring Rebels and Clone Wars and Andor and Rogue One and even in Last Jedi, like the gray areas of like it wasn't black and white. There's still things that are happening and like actual political machinations that are happening. I appreciated in Mandalorian season three them talking about the Outer Rim worlds with like Greef Karga or whatever his name is, where like. Yeah, like you're not part of the New Republic. You haven't registered with the New Republic. So we have other planets we need to protect in the Outer Rim who have registered. You know, that type of stuff. And how decisions like that will end up affecting the way the people feel about the new government, right? So I appreciated that being there in the Mandalorian. If just for comparison's sake, I still think Andor does a lot better, but I also think that Andor is like prestige Star Wars television, where it's written by somebody who is not a primary Star Wars fan. So I think that's kind of where the difference comes in. They're not looking to lore build and like stick to like to pre-established lore. They're trying to be like, we're telling a story about a character and how a character goes from being disaffected and disassociated with a rebellion to where he's at the end of Rogue One. So anyway, I'm done.
My challenge for you, because eventually after all my nagging, you did watch this season, is I'm going to start nagging you about Bad Batch for two reasons.
I do want to watch it, but I haven't yet.
One, because you don't have to watch all of Clone Wars to appreciate it. There are a couple of episodes worth checking out. But yes. I got to say, if you took Clone Wars animation and really just upped the quality, the animation in Bad Batch is chef's kiss. And then the stories about these, you know, messed up clones, the interplay between this group and really that transitional period right after the Clone Wars. So much of that I really enjoy, and it's only two seasons right now, so that's much more easy to digest.
And I do appreciate the conversation or the story about how the clones get replaced by stormtroopers eventually.
Yeah.
That's interesting to me.
And the whole moral struggle between those clones that were unable to overcome their inhibitor chip and just took out the Jedi, and those that either didn't have or were not affected by their inhibitor chips, or even some that had it later removed and have regret about what they did during Order 66. So yeah. Really cool stuff in there. One last thing. I know we've talked a lot about Mandalorian so far, but we got to bring up the baby Yoda himself, Din Grogu. I want to know a couple of things about how you feel about Grogu. One, we see that he gets his IG-12 rebuilt suit based on IG-11 that he can then use to walk around relatively slowly and repeat simple one-word phrases over and over again. How did you feel about the suit? Did you like it? Did you think it was, I don't know, effective? I don't, what'd you think?
There was a part probably where he saved somebody with that suit, right? Maybe. But I mean, his little baby carriage thing is so much more effective at getting around all the time.
Yeah, but he can't say no, 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 no.
Why don't they just put that in there? As you know, like, and there's no rocket pack on the IG-12.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I thought it was cool. I thought it was unique. The communication part of it was simple but useful at times. Here's my issue with the baby Yoda in Grogu, right? Is he was cute. This young little Yoda looking character in the first season acted very young. We now understand that this character has been around a long time.
Mm-hmm.
We still do not know the definitive age, but he's got to be
like 55. I think that's because I think they said he was like around 50 in the first season. And then it's been like 3 years in the world of the Mandalorian. So 53, 55. We'll just say 55.
I understand that this race of alien in Star Wars lives a very long time. I'm fine with that. He's in his mid-50s, he understands enough about the world to where he has a relatively convincing control over the Force. He can make opinions. He can assess situations. He can convey what he wants, what he doesn't want. So how long are we going to like stretch out this like baby part of him, right? Like he cannot become a or he cannot take the creed because he is unable to speak, or like all this, like at what point are we going to like let him talk, or just, like just, at what point, like how long are we just going to let word. This happen?
He has to have a first word, you know? It like why couldn't his first word be daddy, right? to
Din Din Djarin, daddy,
right? I'm not as stuck up on that as some others folks are, but I do agree that it has to get to a point eventually where he says something or we move on. That maybe they're saving that for the movie, you know? Maybe.
Sure. I think just for me, the novelty of him being like a baby is wearing off, and I'm all for child Yoda, or like, you know, like baby Yoda. Groot was cool in Guardians 2 or whatever, but then like eventually we got teen Groot, and then we got like, yeah, now we're getting whatever else in volume 3. So
we're like yoga toga Groot.
Toga party
Groot. Grogu. Yeah. Toga party Grogu. Woo! Woo! Just like just
anyway, keg, just that's doing my final stands. Thought on Mando. overall, I think it's a great show. Yeah. I honestly very much, and we talked about this as a Star Wars Celebration conversation as well. I really like what they're doing right now with a lot of Star Wars content, so I'm excited for what's to come. If you watch this season and you have thoughts, please hit us up on Instagram or at our email. Or join the show. Watch us on Twitch on Monday nights, twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. And let us know your thoughts during the show, like so many people are doing right now. all right. Switching from Disney Plus, exiting the app, scrolling over and opening up Apple TV Plus. There's another show in its third season that we wanted to take a little bit of time to talk about, and that is, of course, the hit series Ted Lasso.
Let's talk about Ted Lasso real quick. This one, the finale hasn't happened yet. There's still a couple episodes left, and this one, whereas the Mandalorian, that one felt like a series finale, this will actually be the series finale. This is the final season of Ted Lasso.
I'm
liking it so far. I don't know if you watched this latest episode where they're in Amsterdam.
Oh, I did.
Okay. All right. It's going back to like being kind of positive, even though the team is losing, they're still being positive and they're discovering things about themselves. What I want to talk about, I guess, with this Ted Lasso season is, Nate, right? The whole thing between Ted and Nate, and my sister-in-law, she was saying like a couple episodes ago, she's like, I can't wait for Nate to get his due, right? Get his comeuppance. Sure. And I'm not calling Stacey out just as an example. I think a lot of people feel that way, right? Like Nate's gonna get his. He's going to get what's coming to him. But for me, like, that's not what this show is about. The show's not about like getting revenge on people or like, karma coming to take people down a peg. It's like, it's about people growing and learning and like discovering their trauma and addressing their trauma and like growing themselves as people. And so the whole thing with like Ted being pissed off at Nate, like, I don't think he's pissed off at Nate. He still considers him a friend. He is a friend. He's a friend who's lost his way and like has issues that he's trying to work out. And the point of Nate is not to get to the end of the season and him being like, oh, yeah, you got it, you son of a bitch. It's for him to reach a point of realization where he's going to make that change that he needs, because he is a good person deep down inside. He's just damaged. He's damaged for some one reason or the other. It's a whole therapy thing.
Yeah. Well, and I, again, like it's obvious if you watch the show for any stretch of time that, the ideas about mental health, just emotion, you know, childhood trauma, like, but also just, I don't know, like being emotionally hurt by people, how that can affect you, how it can affect relationships. And they do spend a lot of time, which is kind of refreshing, taking the time to show that it's not a fast process to fix some of those things, right? Like it does take time. And so for Nate as a character, his total arc throughout the show, lovable kit man, right? That was picked on by the rest of the team, but had some really good ideas and actually really, once given the chance to voice those ideas, really showed a lot of potential as a coach, and was given that opportunity by Ted Lasso and the rest of the coaching team. And then how that kind of got to his head as it developed, and he really started to sort of go too far with that. And now it's gone so far that he's abandoned that team and sacrificed those relationships, and is realizing now that he's the head coach of another team, oh, maybe all of those things that I thought I wanted were not worth what it took to get here. And we're starting to see a little bit, especially in the big week episode where those teams face off.
Yeah.
He was very excited to get that win and prove that he was still who everyone thought he was, but he's not getting the combative, like, back and forth with Ted that he would expect to get. And he's realizing, oh, maybe I was wrong about this relationship. And by the time he tries to make it right, you know, the team's already back on the bus and out of there. So
he seems to think, you know, my read of the character is that, like, he needs to be a hard ass asshole jerk in order to be successful in a cutthroat world, and which is the antithesis of his
team owner isn't helping that.
No,
right?
Yeah, right.
He's reinforcing that every step of the way.
Comparing. So Ted has the Lego in his living room, has the Lego figurines of soccer stadium. And players and coaches are all in there as minifigs, including Nate. Nate is there as well. And then you juxtapose it shows Nate. He's in the team's headquarters. There's a bunch of like little, like they look like Duplo figurines of soccer players. And he's working out strategies, like positions and stuff like that. And he knocks one over on the floor, and for a second there he's like, yeah, like he says something and he's happy that he's like pissed off that the guy's there down there, but he's like rubbing it in, he's relishing in it. But then he has that like small little twist where he's like, oh, sorry about that. Like, and he picks him up. Like there's those little moments that like he feels like he needs to be an asshole to be somebody. But that's deep down inside. That's not who he is. He's trying to be somebody who's not.
And I think that's maybe a theme throughout this season, really, for a lot of the characters, about the, I guess you could call it like masks we wear, right? Like the version of yourself that you feel like you're supposed to be because of the role or the position that you're in versus who you really are as a person.
Yeah.
And talking about Nate, there are those moments throughout the season where who I hope to to see is as the real Nate comes out, where he's at the dinner with the model, right? And he's trying to share his background and like his history of this restaurant, and she's not interested. Are you talking to me? Or are you okay? Anyway, and then when the hostess from the restaurant comes over and shares the baklava with him, he I feel like the real Nate kind of comes out a little bit in the course of that. And Roy Kent, right? Soccer star, really rough around the edges, now turned coach. He's known for being loud and abrasive and not an easy person to get to know. He breaks it off with, is it Keely?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just because like, it feels like, oh, that's what needs to happen because, like otherwise I'm going to get hurt or things are going to happen. Right. And he's very guarded, but through the course of the season, he's letting other people in. He's training with, Jamie, who they used to like hate each other, and now they're like building this bond. And it's just like, it's like there's examples throughout the season of these people that are acting a certain way because they think that's who they need to be.
Yeah.
But they're realizing that it's okay to let other people in or to be vulnerable. And I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Did you mention like Zava and the
didn't talk about Zava at all.
And the position that Zava had replaced, right? The guy who's gay and he's still in the closet. And then the reporter who is, turns out, is also gay, but we haven't seen, but a couple episodes saw the player kissing another dude in an alley. And then like, you know, this is like two episodes ago and everyone's like, oh, please don't be a jerk like you've been in the first two seasons. And then it turns out like he interacts with the player and he's like, you know, I was married and then I was leading a different life. And eventually, like, she understood that that's not who I was. And the player is saying, like, you know, I don't want to, like, I just want to, here's what he says. He says, I want to be able to kiss my partner the same way my friends kiss their girlfriends after a game without there being any fanfare or being an idol. I just want it to be normal. Right. So anyways, that's another example of that. So yeah, I agree. Good call on this, like playing out of position. There's even like an episode where they talk about like, in order to beat Manchester or whatever, I think we should all play out of position. And they're like, yeah, but will Zava? And they're like, fuck.
Yeah. Overall, I think I've also heard some criticism that maybe the season's not as good as past seasons. I don't really feel that way. I'm really enjoying it. I liked this Amsterdam episode. It was very interesting. The whole triangle offense, you know, scenario and Ted really kind of like coming back into the coaching side, letting the other issues that he's been dealing with no longer get in the way of that. What's made him a great coach in the past. I'm very curious to see how that plays out over the rest of the season. And so, yeah, if you're not watching Ted Lasso, yeah, highly recommend checking it out. Any other thoughts? Yeah.
Yeah. There's the other day, I don't remember who I was talking to. Maybe it was you. Maybe it was Matt. But before I watched that episode, I had a conversation with somebody about the triangle in like basketball. And it was so weird that I had that conversation again, forget who the fuck I was talking to about it, But then it was on Ted Lasso and it was like, what's going on? What's going on? And I've seen I've seen triangles lots of different places randomly. So it's very, very, very weird lately. Anyway, I do have a segue with that, which the very beginning of Evil Dead Rise, there's like a cabin in the middle of the woods and it's shaped like a triangle. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on here?
Everything is triangles.
Everything is triangles. We're on a triangle planet.
Tell me about this film. Tell me about why I should or should not let my teenager go watch it.
You should not let your teenager go watch it. Well, I mean, if they can if they want, you know, do it. If they are 17 and older. But so Evil Dead Rise, it is Evil Dead series originally Ted Raimi. Or Sam, well, Sam Raimi too. Sam Raimi, Bruce Campbell, 1981, the original Evil Dead came out, and then Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, and then Army of Darkness, the Great Army of Darkness. Ash vs. Evil Dead was a thing for a little bit over on Stars. And then in 2003, Fede Alvarez came out with the requel, The Evil Dead, which is a solid, brutal as shit movie. I like that one. This is now the second kind of requel of The Evil Dead. This one takes place whereas the other ones took place in either the past or a cabin in the woods. This one takes place in a high rise in the middle of Los Angeles. And so, yeah, it's pretty good. Bruce Campbell's not in it. He does have a cameo. There's a bunch of Evil Dead references, Easter egg references throughout the film, but they're not in your face. They're subtle. There's like a pizza box that says Henrietta's on it, and it's got this like old lady's face on it. Henrietta is the old woman who is like one of the first deadites, the demon characters in the original Evil Dead. So there's a lot of cool stuff like that. It's got the Necronomicon and it's fun. It's fun. It's got some brutal stuff in it. That cheese grater, that's the one that everyone is talking about. Cheese grater, ouch. Ouch, 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 ouch. But I will say that I think the 2013 Evil Dead is a little bit harsher, a little bit darker. That one was like a kind of about like addiction, like an addiction story. This one is about like motherhood. And so the thematically, these later two movies have like there's a theme behind them more so than maybe the original Evil Dead did. But anyway, The great thing is no Evil Dead movie is bad. They're all good. It's one of the consistently great series out there. So check it out. Brandon Cruz says, check it out.
Brandon Cruz says, check it out. And on that note, I think that is going to do it for this episode. Yeah. I will not be checking it out, in terms of the Evil Dead movie. I'm behind on movies. There's some new movies I need to see. I won't be seeing any movies this weekend. But then the following weekend, I think Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 comes out. Mm-hmm. So I might have to check that one. Yeah. And we'll find some other things to talk about. I think we're overdue for maybe a discussion over on one of our other podcasts. Interdimensional RSS could probably maybe use a check in soon. Brandon doesn't agree as we're recording live. but what we do need to do is get you guys an update on our other podcast that is in development. Development has slowed a tad, but I think we're getting into a good place where we can push development on that a little bit more.
Travis, oh my God, I can't believe we forgot. If you've waited with us this long, we have big news for you.
Are we sharing the big news?
Yeah, we're sharing it. If anybody's listened to
now
this
that podcast, now that Matt's gone to sleep,
yeah, the big news, everybody. So here's what I'll say.
Big news, everyone.
Last month, got word that we had press passes to WonderCon Anaheim. And so I went unprepared and I didn't interview or do any reporting on that. Very, very, very light reporting. But the people who do WonderCon are the same people who do Comic-Con San Diego. And guess who got press passes to San Diego Comic-Con 2023? That's right. Brandon and Travis and two other people, probably Chelsea, and one other person yet to be defined who needs to do camera work for us to actually prepare for San Diego Comic-Con. So that's really exciting.
Yeah, so we have every intention of being out there for the event. Right. Because I'm there, I'm going to make sure we capture lots of content.
Lots of it.
Some video content, some social media content, as well as most likely recording of an in-person episode.
Yeah.
Because we have to do that whenever we're in the same state. And and a whole lot more, some interviews, whatever we can put together.
When Travis, when I got the email, and I was like, oh, shit. Oh, after like 5 years of trying, finally, we got it. And then Travis is like, real talk. We're doing interviews and we're doing press stuff there. We're going to earn those press passes. Like, no, yeah, no, I know. I know, bro. Plus, we're going to stay at your mother-in-law's house.
I guess I should tell her we're coming.
Free room and board.
Yeah. Yay. Growing up in San Diego finally paid off.
Yeah. So anyways,
it's going to be lots of fun. If you're listening to this and have any plans on being in San Diego for San Diego Comic-Con, let us know. We'll do our best not to avoid you the entire time. We're not quite at the level of planning our own meetup.
If we do have a meetup, it's going to be
the four of us that have our passes meeting up for lunch in the gas lamp. So, yeah. We'll figure it out. That is still a couple of months away. But very excited for that. And we'll share with you more of our plans as we get closer to the date. So big news. We're headed to San Diego Comic Con. Yeah. And that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening, for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the like, hit the subscribe, do leave a comment, do all the things. Stick around on Twitch. We'll do a Twitch only post show. You can only catch that post show if you're watching live on Twitch or if you support us on our Patreon, patreon.com/apathetic enthusiasm. That's it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We love you. See you in San Diego. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.